Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
You're definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
Hi, Judy. How you doing?
I'm good, Rick. How are you doing?
Good. Nice to be here in Calgary.
Oh, it's nice to have you here. It's nice to be doing this in person again.
Yes, for sure. You know what? One thing I'd like to talk about before we get into our subject is we went and saw a movie.
Yes, we did.
A couple days ago. Sound of Freedom.
What an amazing movie.
It's an amazing movie. It's an amazing story.
And true.
And something that everybody needs to get out and see.
I agree.
It's a subject that needs to be talked to. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's the story's fantastic. It's a true story.
Yeah.
And it's done so well.
It is. And it's unfortunately a very, very hard subject to watch. I was curled up in a ball most of the time, but I watched it.
Yeah, but it wasn't over the top. There was really no graphic.
No,
you know, things like that.
And it was all about child slavery.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It's an awful thing.
In the sex trades.
So anyway, anyone who's listening, make sure you get out to see that movie and make sure you tell everybody else to go out and see that movie.
They need the support. Concept. We thought today we'd talk about a basic and fundamental work philosophy, a skill or call it a concept that we do not talk about a whole lot, an approach that can help you and your team excel and be more productive.
Okay.
We are talking about repetition creates excellence.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound
odd? Yeah, yeah. And Rick, really, am I understanding this? Because
I don't know. Boring? Sound boring?
I'm thinking maybe.
Yes, Judy, you heard it right. That's the subject I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
The things that have allowed me to create excellence over time. Right. It's really doing the same thing over and over and over. And that's how I've become an expert at certain things. That's how I've seen other people become very, very good at their jobs and how you drive excellence and efficiency.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking that maybe our listeners there are saying to themselves, have you guys run out of subjects already to talk about?
Yeah, no, it's not the flashy, sexy kind of subject.
No, it's not at all.
But you know, it's crazy to think about, right?
Yeah, it really is.
We get, you know, wrapped up in all these fancy talks and fancy things we should do and complex projects. And it just goes on and on because I think that validates the typical thing. And there's certainly a degree of that needs to happen. But everything needs to lie on a foundation of the basics.
Right.
Fundamentals.
Right.
You know, and I think if you play sports, you know that. It's great to want to do this and that, but it all lays on basic stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're all looking for the golden nugget, those miracle solutions, but they don't really exist. And it takes discipline. You know what? If you really want to be successful and you want to create your own style and approach, it takes doing the same thing over and over and over till you get to that point.
So what I'm hearing then is repetition creates excellence.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And especially for atypicals. I mean, you know, with all my neurological factors at play, you know, I had to be focused on the basics. Simple was best.
Can you give me an example of that, Rick?
Yeah, sure. Sure I can. I got all kinds of them. Let me see. When I first managed my first store in Douglastown, New Brunswick, a Shoppers Drug Mart, you know, the team really focused on everyone was responsible for everything.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You know, everybody participated in every section, every part of the store and did everything. And I transitioned them from more being responsible for specific duties on a specific timeline.
Okay.
And to tell you the truth, the results were astonishing. Productivity soared. Personal satisfaction increased, even their work-life balance, you know, when they went home, they didn't have to think about everything. Everything was done.
Because they did it themselves.
Well, it wasn't that they did it themselves, that they had specific things they needed to do.
Well, that's what I meant. Well, yeah. Their job was done. They knew it, right?
Right, right. But it had a much bigger impact than just that. It's because they had specific responsibilities and they started to take ownership of those responsibilities. They had a different kind of thought process about their job. You know, they developed a sense of pride about this is mine and I'm going to do it great and I want it to look fantastic and all the little things that need to be done would be done. It built a different level of enthusiasm. They started giving suggestions and how we could improve this and I could do this instead and this would be better. The merchandising, the service levels, Everything got better because of that sense of ownership. And that sense of ownership is critical. I mean, come on, we've all felt that.
Yeah.
When you feel like you own it, you know, you just want to excel at it.
Right,
you
right.
Know? The bottom line is things look better. Things got done better. Things got done faster. Frankly, in half the time. Because you now, I knew what I needed to done. I could, in my mind, kind of schedule the process by which I'm going to do this. I would know that I had things exactly where I wanted in the receiving area to go get them and bring them to the thing. There was no messing around.
Right. Okay.
You know, just drove productivity, drove image, where productivity soared, actually become the highest in Atlantic Canada, profit soared, all because of people got to get focused on one particular group of tasks.
Right.
And they did that group of tasks over and over and over again. And I mean, everyone's experienced it. When
right.
you do that, you get good at it. You get fast at it. It's no secret, really. But we tend to lose that. We tend to lose that in the complexity of, oh, you know, we should try other things and we should do this. And not that that's a bad thing, but it all has to be, you know, it's that teaspoon of medicine type thing.
Right. Do you think it also may have something to do, and I think we talked about this in another episode, that the owners say, well, if Jane can cover these two things, then I don't have to have a person covering that one. I know when I go into some drugstores, let's say, and there's always the cashier that's doing the stocking. And I'm like always looking for the cashier because she's out stocking the shelves.
Oh, listen, there's no doubt that part, but that goes back to the same conversation, is that part of enabling you to take care of a set of responsibilities, I have to make sure that you're allowed to do that.
Right.
Now that goes to, okay, who's on cash? Who's responsible for that? How do I eliminate interruptions in your workday
right.
to allow you to do your job? So it all fits together. It's like a puzzle because when we talk about how this person is doing that section, well, now we're talking about 30 people in a group.
Right.
Each one of them owns a piece to the puzzle.
Right.
And each one of them, you know, all those puzzle pieces connected, and that drives the performance of the store. So even when you talk like that, oh, I need someone to go on cash, who can do that? Well, that should be clustered down to a small group of people that will share that responsibility. Their responsibilities are going to have more flexibility because you know there's going to be interruption, but the other 24 people are solid, on the job, doing exactly what needs to be done.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So you've got, but that's a great point, Judy. You have to expect that there will be, in certain people's roles, other things to do that necessarily can't be predicted.
Right.
Is it going to be a busy day today or not a busy day
right.
today? But don't spread that across the whole store. Let people get focused. And man, when you do, can they fly?
Right, right. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, that really makes sense. It's just not the picture I had in mind, that's for sure. But yeah, thank you.
What do you mean it's not the picture you had in mind? Do you think about it differently?
Well, I guess when you first brought this out to me that boring, repetition, blah, blah, blah. But the way that you're explaining it, I understand it now. It's getting your job, knowing your job, doing it well, that ownership. It's not, it's just changed the way I was thinking about it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say boring and, you know, repetitive and like.
I think it's that word, repetitive.
Yeah, but what, is something wrong with that?
No, but I'm just, you know, that word to me. It just strikes a chord to me. That's all. It makes it sound boring. Oh, it's repetitive. You're just going to keep doing it. You know,
well,
it's like banging it. But it's not. And you are correct using that word because that's what you're doing. You're learning your job. When you explain it that way, it makes perfect sense. It's just not the picture I had in my mind. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, in many companies and corporations, there is this sort of job sharing mandate.
Right.
You know, let's share jobs, let everybody experience the other jobs, and they rationalize, well, if, you know, somebody gets hit with a bolt of lightning, there'll be someone else to do their job. And I get the rationale for that, but you got to be careful that, am I organizing my team and setting priorities for the catastrophe that's going to happen?
As opposed to the everyday.
Everyday drudgery of getting things done.
Right.
And I say drudgery, again, it's the wrong word because we want to associate, as you said earlier, that repetition is a bad thing. That, oh my God, it's over and over and over again. I guess don't see it that way because I believe that we need to install that your job is critical and important, that what you do matters, that I allow you to take ownership and be a critical part of the team, who doesn't want that?
Right.
Who doesn't
right.
want to believe that what they do matters? That your level of expertise is critical to the success of this team. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Well, exactly. And I just think it's the word. It's just that word is repetitious. Because really, when you're working, even within your job, you're doing different things all the time. I would think you're learning, you're you know, doing.
Well, sometimes it's not, yeah. but I mean, some, you know, but that's almost saying that if I own something and I'm an expert at something, that can't be fun.
Well, that's not like, true.
No, absolutely not right. true. We get that in our mind, right?
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we've got to be careful that the tail's not wagging the dog here.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah. sure, should we be prepared and use good common sense? And I'd use an example. If I ran a customer service group, mm-hmm. was part of our organization. And in that group, let's say there's 10 people.
Right.
And they basically are answering calls or talking to people, but each one of them would have a particular task. So 75% of their jobs are all the same.
Right.
And there's 25% that just to get things done, each buddy would have a little piece. Now, should they be cross-trained to know that 25% so they absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely, because that's the nature of their business.
Right.
But does that mean that someone who has more of a static job needs to do that?
No.
Does the sales manager need to go in and understand how customer service runs? Does he need to run into the warehouse and know exactly how the picker does what the picker does? Now, obviously, a good understanding of the concept of what they do and how they do it is nice.
Yes.
But getting into the intricacies of that serves one purpose.
No, okay. I don't
not,
have
it's
to.
Not, but we don't want to get too far focused on that side of the coin.
Right.
It's the other side of the coin. It's when I'm focused on my job, mm-hmm. when I'm allowed to do my job, I become tremendously efficient at my job.
Exactly.
And more important to the company.
Right.
And isn't that a great feeling?
Yes,
that
of course.
What I do matters. What I, oh, imagine.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I agree that 100%. Well, I know I know what you're saying about your call center, because it was much similar in my business, because we had the front of the house and then the back of the house, of course. So the front of the house, I always had people know each other's job just for that reason. Yeah, you know, sure. Someone's sick, someone, you know, gets hit by a bus, God forbid. That's like you said, it's static, right?
We have to deal with the practicality
of
the business.
Yeah, exactly. You have to
business,
be sensible about it. You know?
And the business needs to run. But at the same time, we need to develop experts.
Yes,
we
exactly.
More than that, we need people who have ownership in what
right.
they do.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's not get focused on the exception, because
exactly.
we're talking about what should the rule be. And the rule should be that we want people who have ownership of their departments with their job
right.
and all that.
Yeah.
And it's fun to think that, you know, people, you know, can take a break and learn other things. Mm-hmm. And that's got to happen to a certain degree. But, you know, let's not, again, like we said, let's not have the tail wag the dog.
Right, right.
Like, you know, and the problem with learning things as well is that I know certainly for me, I mean, you could take me out and teach me something, and then if I never do it again for weeks and months, poof, it's gone.
Right.
And that's the way my brain certainly works, where other people may be able to retain that. Now, take Excel. Excel is a great example. I've gone on all these, we've all gone on Excel courses.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do it and you take the course, and when you walk out of the course, yeah, this is pretty cool. I can do this and I can do that. Well, I can tell you, sure as shit, a month later, I can't do anything. I can hardly turn it on.
Oh, my God.
And
I know.
That's reality. Yeah. So this idea that you want to have people run in and do people's jobs to a degree, just not really practical, because you can't retain that information.
Yeah.
Especially if there's any complexity to it.
Right.
And so it's better to have that smaller group who's sharing accountabilities and skills.
Right.
As opposed to taking out to the broader group, which really doesn't, they don't retain. And you minimize their effectiveness in their own job because you're spreading them thin.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. If I don't do something every day almost, I forget from week to week.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And that is pretty basic to an atypical or neurodiverse person, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But, which is fine. You just have to recognize that. Man, when you get us focused, though, when you get the people with the right neuro conditions focused on those type of tasks, nobody can compare.
No, I agree. When I've got it, I've got it. I agree. Like when I figure out again how I did it, I will, you know, fly at it. But I usually have to take a little time and say, you know, how did I do that again?
You know, one thing, I mean, and you see it happen all the time.
Right. Okay.
You know, this the good intentions really don't pan out. And I can think of my son's hockey practices.
Right.
You know, he's playing competitive hockey and coaches are trying to teach the kids skills, as they should.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting these drills together to... But what I would see is I'd go to practice after practice, I would watch, you know, they tended to change the drill to teach the same skill. Because I think the idea is, well, we want to be fun and creative and let's
okay.
do that for the kids. But the problem was it took all practice to learn the drill.
Right. I'm kind of sitting here with a poppy dog look on my face because I don't really understand it.
What do you mean? I mean, you have any sports, the same thing.
No, but
if you
want
to learn how to write a letter, well.
No, I didn't mean that way. I meant, I was kind of like, I think I was thinking what you were thinking, like, why are they changing the drill every time?
Because the mandate, another mandate inside of Hockey Canada, would be got to make this fun and exciting for the kids.
Okay.
So they changed the drill, make it exciting, but the problem was it took all day, which is really kind of frustrating for the kids because they're sitting around, standing on the ice as people explain things, as you try the drill once and they fail and they try it over and, you know, it takes, like I say, all practice to get it done. I just never saw it that way. I mean, I coached swimming in my early days and I went decades without coaching. But when I got into coaching, by that time I had been in the business world a long time. I had kind of perfected my organizational skills. I learned that allowing people to own something just did super things. And that meant that they repeated their job over and over. They really became the proverbial expert in that.
Right.
So when I started coaching again, I would do the same drill all the time. And arguably, I could see that that's probably not the most exciting thing, but it's certainly the most effective thing. We'd go on to win championship after championship. Now, that one thing is not all the factors why we would win.
Right.
You know, I would hope that creating a strong and motivated team is more complex than changing a few drills around.
Yeah, exactly. But also, you've told us in past episodes, you always made sure the teams had fun too. You know, I remember you saying that you would work them really hard and then you had a game.
Oh, what was swimming. That game?
Yeah.
Murder ball.
Yeah. And they'd all be hanging off your back and you'd be swimming.
Right.
And you said they had so much fun that they didn't, you know, they were willing to work hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a great example because, so let's say swimming practice is an hour.
Right.
45 minutes, they would swim their guts out to be able to do the 50 minutes of murder ball at the end. So it's like you don't, you know, you can do many things at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, so you can work hard, be disciplined, do what other people might call boring, and then you have another bucket that says, okay, we're going to go have fun.
Yeah, it's one like, doesn't negate the other.
No, and one activity doesn't have to solve all your issues.
Right.
The one activity doesn't have to be the work hard, have fun, and all that at the same time. We're going to do this. We're going to learn this. Now we're going to go.
Right.
Because, again, having fun and a motivated team is far more complex than having a, you know, a new drill. Come on. I mean, Jesus. I sure as hell hope so.
So how would you set the goals? What would you – what
well,
are the goals
Well, when I talk about business, I think that it's very clear that I'm always relying on the basics. I'm always relying on simplicity.
Okay.
Clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to understand their role, how to do it. And if I'm being fair to people, I'm allowing them to be focused on their job without interruption.
Mm-hmm.
Repetition.
Which is great.
Which is great. And they learn their job. And now, under the right environment, they take ownership for that job.
Right.
So I think it's pretty normal in my world.
No, yeah.
Well, let me finish.
Okay,
I think
sorry.
It's very normal in my world
right.
for me to have high expectations of my employee,
mm-hmm.
to have regimented job description, clear accountabilities, and hold people accountable inside an environment that respects people's contribution, that allows to have people to have fun.
Right.
I can do multiple things at the same time. I don't have to do them all in the same minute.
Right.
But I can create the right environment so working hard and being held accountable feels motivated, necessary, and everybody loves it because I feel like I'm contributing.
Right.
And that's really what it's about. And that's what it all gets down to. How do you allow people to contribute, to be the best they can be, to feel what they do matters?
Right. Right.
By doing it over and over and over, becoming that expert, becoming efficient. That's how you do those sorts of things. And man, it's the only way for the atypical neurodiverse to work.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I also think a big thing is that you're very clear, which I wish more people would have been, you know, particularly during my time. What's your job description? I'm going to hold you accountable for it. And there's, you know, and so many people don't do that anymore.
Oh, can I interrupt? Because that's important. Because here what always happens.
Okay.
Here's your job description.
Mm-hmm.
I get pulled here. I get pulled there. I got to go do job sharing. I got to do that. And then you say, I'm going to hold you accountable. Why didn't you do that?
Right.
Well, I did. I didn't do it because you fucking had me everywhere doing everything else.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. That's frustration. And that's where that whole team of motivation starts to collapse because you've done it to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
You can't allow that to happen.
That's great. I like that a lot.
And I've just such many great examples of where people, because of their experience doing the same job over and over, defined as repetition, became invaluable. I remember Ken. Ken was just a super guy, very knowledgeable, and kept up with the times. He was our director of store recruitment. And he'd been doing the same sort of job for years. He knew the customer. He had strong relationships. And he knew exactly what to say and what to do in every situation. Because he was dealing with independent pharmacists. And there's no one more diverse than these pharmacists that he was dealing with. He knew the deals that would work in those type of situations. And, you know, once we were able to give him the tools and the support that he needed, I can remember one year he brought in 300 stores. He and his team, to be clear, brought in 300 stores into our group.
Wow. That's a lot in a year.
To put that in perspective, that's larger than most other banners. Most other companies in that category in Canada.
Wow.
He brought that many stores in a year. Now, his level of understanding, because of his experience, was just another reality. A totally different. This is not he's better than.
No.
He's living in a whole different universe on how to do this. And that's a result of him being able to get focused, doing the same job over and over, knowing the ins and outs of doing that.
Right. Right. Getting the relationships, working with the people.
But it's all that gray stuff.
Yeah.
Like you can put a manual together that says, here's what you need to do.
No, but you're right. It's just getting to know everyone's nuances and like he knows everything about everything within his job.
He does.
Yeah. And he was obviously really damn good at it.
Very good at it. So, you know, that's the whole concept of, you know, repetition.
Yeah.
Ownership. Yeah. It all ties together.
Right, right. Well, I got to say, you've done it again, Rick.
What have I done again, Judy?
Well, once again, you made what we thought might be a little boring and turned it into a really, really great learning tool. I'm very impressed. So that's it for us today. But before we go, let's do a quick recap, shall we? People are your greatest resource, capable of accomplishing almost anything when given the tools and allowed to focus on their particular jobs. Allow people to become experts, masters of their trade, and valuable members of their team.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Another one done.
Another one done. Thanks very much, Judy. And see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique. So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.